evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in to the Brass Ring Media Podcast for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. What's going on? I'm Zach Haydorn. That is Tyler Sage. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, I can hear you. You can hear me. It's all good. Some would say that a 2017 MacBook may not be the best podcast equipment ever made, but here we are.
Hey, man.
Walmart really wants me to buy the $700 version, which is probably a 2021, but I keep getting that ad. It's like, I know, but hey, I'm going to ride this thing out till it dies. So,
right. One day we're going to log on for the show and Tyler just won't be able to join us at all because, you know, the computer will have to get in the car and start driving around like last time.
Yeah, the phone is better. The phone is a better. That connects every time. So,
oh, man. Well, guys, we got a lot to get to today. Big show plan, big week plan, really, here at Brass Ring Media. So thank you to everybody who's joining us live. I want to start with Monday Night Raw and a question that I had briefly yesterday. In regards to Triple H, he was on Raw again. He's touting the new era. He's also, you know, kind of goofing off with R-Truth and Miz and Awesome Truth. And sidebar on that, by the way, the retcon of Awesome Truth is just incredible. Like, I mean, it is like shameless. That tag team was a disaster, you guys. Just a nightmare. And here they're like, oh, the legendary Awesome Truth. Like, come on, you guys got to get called out on that. Anyway. So it just got me thinking, man, like Raw's on a roll. I thought it was a good show last night. I mean, solid show, not their best, but solid. At a weird time too, because the draft is happening. Like, you know, nothing is really going to really get going until like stuff is set from a roster perspective. So you're kind of playing with a mixed bag as far as that goes. But Triple H though, again, making his presence known. So Tyler, I ask you, is this worrisome? Is it too much already? Or do you kind of give him some leniency through the draft? Because you know he's going to be on for that.
It's tough. I would say it's the first sign of worry to have. I don't know, man. Like, I'd like to think that he doesn't have it in him to pop up a lot after the draft, but I think he has a checkered past of being an authority figure and putting himself when he is able to wrestle, which I would still be pretty steadfast that he's never going to wrestle again. I think you would agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, so that's a good sign, right? If he could wrestle, I think we could have, like, you're probably 2x more worried right now.
Yeah.
He's making his presence known a lot. Right. Like, is he like the Rock's underling and he fights the Undertaker in Saudi Arabia? Like, that's very much on the table if we have a healthy Triple H. Right. So, I'm glad he's healthy and made it, obviously, like all that stuff. But, you know, there's some things that could maybe derail this a little bit, like I just laid out there. I think he's not going to be as prevalent, but we will see. I'm not as confident. If he is on there a lot, he might be trying to be the new Tony Khan, and that's when AEW would need to swoop in and get Tony Khan's name and image and likeness off television to combat Triple H being too much on television. So, hey, if you're AEW, you would hope that he's on there, but, you know, could Tony also hold back from being on there? I don't know. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think right now, like, it stood out to me. It did stand out. When his music hit for, like, a random "we're going to reveal the tag belts" segment, I was like, huh, all right. Okay, let's see where this goes. But, you know, if you watch WWE wrestling from, like, 2005 or 2003, really, to 2006 or 2007, I mean, you got as much of a Triple H dose as you want on Monday Night Raw to last you a lifetime. And he, like, for better or worse, likes his hands on things. And so that's Wade always reported that he was, you know, the guy in the video production room, like talking to the guys on how to produce his vignettes and the promo segments, stuff like that. So I think that serves him well in a lot of ways as the head of creative, because you want a guy that pays attention to detail, is focused, knows what he's doing. Like, that's all positive. But on TV, it's like, and you're at a point now where your product is in a bit of a renaissance. It's sizzling better than it has in years and years. Like, you need to, like, just let that breathe. Let that go out there. Let it be. Let it do its thing. So I, it's like you said, I think you, you know, put it out there perfectly. It's a bit of a potential warning sign. I'm not throwing the red flag on it yet, just because it is post-WrestleMania. It is draft time. You know, he's going to be on the show for that. After that, though, if we start seeing weekly appearances, then, you know, I think we'll have to have this conversation in a bit of a in a bit of a different way. I mean, because you don't want him suffocating the product. No, I mean, hard no on that for me.
Yeah. You do have to remember, though, he is the gentleman who allowed the main event of WrestleMania Sunday to happen, which does dip its toe, foot, leg, whole body in nostalgia, right? So
it does.
You know, I think he's got a propensity to lean into that, even though that moment, you know, as I laid out a lot on the Patreon, was built by guys who are not of that era. And The Rock certainly was the seasoning on top of that meal, or whatever you want to, you know, he's the aioli that made that meal really pop. But that the steak and the potatoes of it was Cody and Roman, right? So he just has a propensity to do that. So just be on the lookout. How's my sound, by the way? My AC kicked on and it sounds like a jet engine. Okay.
Cool. Sound good. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's a good point. Like, well, I'll ask you this follow-up question after we set the table here. This is the Brass Ring Media Podcast, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We're live all throughout the week right here on the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed and you're listening right now either on YouTube or on Twitter, we hope you do. Just hit that subscribe button, hit the notification, turn those on so you know when we're live, and you won't miss a show. We're live Monday through Thursday. We've got this flagship show twice a week, Tuesdays right now, and then Thursday afternoons. For another dose, we will be previewing AEW Dynasty on Thursday afternoon. So mark your calendars for that. You can also follow our work and what we do on a day-to-day basis over on our Substack newsletter page. It's a daily newsletter updated with show reviews and features and other cool little columns and stuff by our team. Highly recommend that. It's free to join, so we hope you do. And then also, if you want a heavy dose, you can become a Patreon member and become a member of Brass Ring Media. You get a free member podcast every week. You get access to our pay-per-view review shows, which we will be doing this weekend for Dynasty. You get access to our Discord community, full access to the to our newsletter, the paid articles, and the free ones, and all sorts of other fun elements. So it's $4, you guys. Head over to Patreon. Check us out, patreon.com/brassringmedia. Had an exciting development today with the book project. Hard copy.
Woo.
Hard copy is here, folks. It's going to hit soon. If you didn't pre-orders are going out really soon. And if you didn't get one of those, I'll have all sorts of on-sale information for you. Exciting to hold this bad boy. Exciting to hold this thing. Can't wait for you guys to read it. More to come on that. As for tonight, Super Chats are open. A lot of you guys have already made a wonderful contribution. We got a lot to get to there. Thank you in advance for that. We will read all Super Chat comments and questions and use it as a means to chat and make get through our show today. If you want to make a contribution, every little bit helps. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for that. Cool. All right. So, Tyler, here's my question. Mm-hmm. To you, Vince McMahon running WWE had signature like moments, stories that, you know, put Vince aside, the stories and the matches and the moments will stand the test of time in the industry. Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. WrestleMania 5, the Hogan Savage year-long story. Austin versus McMahon, right? Austin versus Rock, Attitude Era in general. Those are like signature moments that like McMahon has under his belt as a booker, as the head of creative for WWE. If you're sitting in your seat right now, does Cody Rhodes fall into that bucket for Paul Levesque? And does the Bloodline story fall into one of those same type of buckets for Paul Levesque? Like, are those on that level? Like, if you were talking to Eric Bischoff, he'd be like, oh, the NWO, that's my baby. You know, does Triple H have his yet? And maybe you have a different option, but those are the two that I think of that are arguably Triple H's thing, even though the Bloodline started before that. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to – the Cody story is not yet finished. I mean, that part of the story, right? I mean, that's like the superpowers – the mega powers exploding, right? WrestleMania 5. That story is over, right? The year-long journey of Cody to get back. So I guess that story technically is over. I think what Cody does in his run in the next 5 years helps solidify that being more of an epic story, right? Like the Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30. Yeah. Could be even more powerful if he doesn't get hurt, isn't, you know, in Team Hell No when he comes back from injury, all that stuff, right? So I would say, yes, that is Triple H's at this point. The Bloodline, I'm not going to give him maybe like half credit if I'm being generous on that. Like, that is a Paul Heyman story more than anything, I would say, if you're going to give it like a – in Roman, obviously. Finally being able to turn heel and having a creative force with him to collaborate and make an epic story. So I would not give that to Levesque, because that's obviously a Vince thing. And then, you know, obviously he, you know, if you want to give him and Vince half of that, that's fine. But the Cody story, yes, is essentially an entire Levesque, you know, creative piece with Cody and Roman and Heyman and everybody else involved. So I would say yes right now. And, you know, that's pretty good, right? Like, that's early in his run as head booker. The first one you had for McMahon, I mean, what, he bought – When is he head booker? Like 84, 83 that he buys it from his dad?
Yeah, around then. And then it, you know,
obviously. Because WrestleMania is 85.
Yeah, so I assume it was before that.
Yeah, I think 83. Let us know in the chat if everyone knows it off the top of their head. But, you know, that's, you know, pretty quick for Levesque to have like an epic storyline, you know, his first year basically running the company. Not even, right? Because Vince is in and out. When's Vince officially out again? What's the timeline? August? Like August to August is like his whole story.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So of leaving, coming back, and then the lawsuit, etc. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's early to say that, but yeah, it's the closest thing right now.
Yeah. I think about like mainly him and Tony Khan, really. Paul Levesque and Tony Khan. It's like, you know, I think Triple H just kind of – I agree with you. I don't think a Bloodline really qualifies. And I think that Cody does – that does, provided things go well, right? Because, I mean, like, if, you know, if Hulk Hogan is the guy for Vince and it completely falls off a cliff, no one's talking about it as, like, a great – you know, as a great moment, right? So it has to have decent enough follow-up. But I think the pieces are in place for – you know, people who are first-time wrestling fans now at age like 8, 9 years old that are going to remember that Cody moment for forever. Yeah. So that will stick. And if you judge it like that way, then I think it does count. But also, you know, if you're Paul Levesque, like, do you even risk it? Like, sometimes I think about it, like, he's running Raw, right? And he's got this like well-oiled machine. He walks into like a well-oiled machine, you know, huge corporation, big, just it goes. And, you know, like back when like Vince was coming up and Eric Bischoff was coming up, like you had to think outside the box. You had to like, well, let's try this crazy story because like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like Triple H is going to have to come up with, you know, creative means to like keep the show going in a totally different way. So as to not rock the boat, but also to be interesting at the same time. So it's going to be different watching him and Tony Khan, because they're both kind of on a similar graded on a similar curve, how they approach kind of making their mark as like the creative entities on these shows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, when do the Observer Awards come out? Not that those are, like, you know, the standard of the industry. But yeah. Levesque is certainly going to win Booker of the Year, right? And that affects Tony Khan, at least.
Yes.
That is, like, the standard of the industry to at least one person, and that is Tony Khan, right? So that's, like, a personal shot at Tony, who's won the first 4 years of his promotion, and Levesque is certainly going to win this year. So they are certainly graded on the same area.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I don't know. A bit of a tangent, I think, folks, but I just was thinking about it yesterday as he's on the TV and as I'm judging whether or not he should be, just thinking, like, man, like, he's got a different kind of mark to make as a, you know, booker, you know? So it's interesting. All right, let's get to some super chats here on this topic. First, we go to Tracy, who has maybe the best super chat of all time. Not to take anything away from anybody else, but this is just great. For Tyler using aioli in wrestling analysis. I love it. Love it, Tracy. Thank you so much for the contribution.
Yeah. For listening. Well, a celebrity fan of wrestling, Ron Funches, is on the have you seen the Dave Chang, like, dinner club thing that's, like, live on Netflix?
No,
I haven't. So it's like every Tuesday. I'm not trying to do, like, free plug here. But Ron's on it right now. My wife is watching it as I walk down here to start it. So it's good to see Ron being everywhere. You know, he's wrestled GCW matches. Yeah. He's been, like, the first three StarCast as a fan and as a stand-up. I remember, this is, again, another tangent, but StarCast 2 was in Las Vegas. That was for Double or Nothing, the first one. And they had, like, two conference rooms back-to-back. And they were, like, double booked. So, like, something that's two things at 7, two things at 8:30, whatever, right? And the 8:30 was literally the Elite in 2019 before the first pay-per-view of the company. Had, like, a press conference about their matches. And then at the same time, the other thing was Ron Funches doing a stand-up routine with other comedians that like wrestling. And it was, like, 12 people in Ron's thing. And I felt so bad, but it was funny. But everyone else was obviously watching. You could hear, like, the Young Bucks music and stuff. And he's like, wow, you guys are here. Well, the Young Bucks in the other room. Thank you. So shout out to Ron. Check that out if you guys have Netflix.
There you go. There is a plug. That is called a plug, my friend. That is called a plug. I love it. Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate it. Okay, so let's also from Adam here on the topic of Triple H. Thank you, Adam. No more Triple H for at least 6 months, please. Well, you're going to see him in a couple weeks at the very least. He's going to be on that draft show. So after that, though, after that 6 months, longer.
Are they just doing one draft show? Just that two. SmackDown?
And Raw. Two.
Yeah, so Raw and that same week, yeah. Right? Yeah, because literally, well, like,
it's like a weekend in between. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. So it's the, like, round day two of the NFL draft is going on actively while SmackDown draft is going on, right?
Yes.
That's correct. The 27th.
Yeah. 26th. So it's maybe? Next Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Monday after. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So Adam, be warned. Be warned. Don't watch if you don't want to see Triple H. Adam also jumps in and asks, why does Triple H have to be on for the draft? That's what Pierce and Aldis are for. So, I mean, it does beg that exact question, right? Like, why does Triple H need to be on those shows if you have Aldis and Pierce? He doesn't need to be, just like he didn't need to be last night. That'd be my opinion. I think Aldis and Pierce are, like, the best authority figures that we've had on these shows. And that's not even because they're all that great, but because the previous ones were insufferable for, you know, since about Vince McMahon in 1999, that, you know, anybody even kind of good, like, stands out. But I think it's just a star power thing. They want to use these draft episodes to draw a number. And so he's going to be on for that reason. I mean, that's literally the only reason why, Tyler.
I would also say, depending on the presentation of how they do the draft, if they do it like a real draft, I think the idea is that Triple H is the commissioner of the league, right? So any other, you know, WNBA draft was last night, the commissioner of the WNBA was going out for the picks. Adam Silver, NBA, does the first round. Goodell does the first round of – so he'll probably do like the first two picks, right, for each, and then maybe Pierce and Aldis will do – rounds two through whatever, right, on each day. So I think that's hopefully what they're going to do, right? That's such a, like, low-hanging fruit of WWE booking that has never been utilized, of, like, have the panel, have CM Punk and Big E and whoever, right, like the pre-show thing, and they're there talking on the desk, whatever you want to do, right? You know, So there you go. I think that's why he's on it more than anything, to do that presentation.
I hope so. I mean, they haven't really mentioned much at all. And we'll do a draft preview probably next week here on our shows. Hopefully by then we have some insight as to how they're going to do this. If some of the camera angles and stuff are any indication that, you know, in terms of like how they film Raw and SmackDown, like I think there's going to be a shakeup in this. We just don't know what it is yet. But hopefully next week we get some insight into that and can discuss it here, because it'd be fun to do, you know, a full kind of draft preview, is provided we know what the rules are of said WWE draft. So more to come on that, but thank you, Adam. And I know you got a couple more in here. We'll get to those in a second. Yeah, man. Interesting little topic. Just seeing Triple H kind of flex his muscle out there. He has a healthy ego. I don't think he would deny that. You're kind of seeing it on display here a little bit too. Okay. Let's, I want to talk Rhea Ripley for a minute. Unfortunate news, to start off Monday Night Raw last night, Rhea Ripley relinquishing the title, the world title, due to shoulder injury suffered at the hands of Liv Morgan. Accidental, of course, but it was during the brawl that the two of them had on the Raw after WrestleMania. They're going to crown a new champion next week on the show. We don't know how as of this moment, unless that news broke in the last half hour.
They might not know either. So.
Yeah, they might not know either at this point. So let's take Rhea first. You know, she's had momentum. She's been like this really beloved character since beating Nia Jax, you know, right after the Royal Rumble in Perth. Has a okay match with Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. But the story is her momentum. I mean, she's over big time. One of the biggest women's stars that the company has. And now she, you know, has to sit on the sidelines. You know, it hurts the women's division in the short term, I think. It, you know, very much so, losing her. If you're Rhea Ripley, though, it may help her long term to be away for a little while, to have that big, like, return pop the way Seth did and the way, you know, not on the level of, like, Austin and Triple H. But, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And if they were trepidatious about turning her fully babyface, like, they're not going to have a choice now. She's going to come back as a babyface. And I think they already started framing it that way last night on the show. So what do you think of the injury, the impact on the women's division, and then just the impact on Rhea in general? And then we'll talk about women's title situation after that.
Super unfortunate, right? Again, not to echo Daniel Bryan, but feels like that, right? Like your seminal moment, winning a title at WrestleMania. And then, you know, his was, what, like a month later? It wasn't the Raw 2 weeks later.
But, if that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like, it feels like that. I mean, obviously, she's on a different trajectory of where he was, right? Like, she's not as, like, he fully developed right there at that moment as, like, the peak of his overness, right? Mm-hmm. And she still had levels to climb in a good way, right? That's what you want in a babyface turn. But, yeah, I mean, it's super unfortunate. I do think, you know, whenever that's going to be, I mean, I know there's no reporting, but if she's got to drop the title, it's got to be like a torn labrum or something, right? Or something like that. That's like, is there reporting?
Dave said it was like 3 months is what they said. It's not torn. Nothing's torn. But I'm trying to find the report here. But
yeah, so that puts us right at
a serious
when
SummerSlam, pretty much.
When's Money in the Bank?
June. So that might be too early for that. Yeah.
Yeah, too early. That'd be a sweet place to come in, not have to do like too much. Have her win that thing and cash it in, and in a match at SummerSlam to make it like one of the two be more realistic. It'd be the babyface way to do it. That'd be huge, because I'm sure where's that at? That's got to be at a stadium, right?
Money in the Bank. I think he's in London, right?
London. Yeah. I mean, overseas, how many PLEs are not in stadiums this year? Like, for real.
Not many. Seriously.
Yeah. So, which is crazy. So that just proves everything there. But yeah, I mean, when she comes back, she'll be a huge baby face. She's got to do it the right moment. If it's SummerSlam, that can be one of your two marquee matches right there. Who is opposite of her? You know, if it's Liv Morgan, I guess that's like the B-plus story to tell here. I don't know what they're going to do. They're probably trying to be like, hey, Becky, was 2 weeks enough vacation for you? Because we could really use you right now. You know, if it's one of those things, or hey, we added an extra zero. You're right. We changed that one to a two.
Yeah.
On your contract per year. So you want to come back now, you know, so good leverage for her. I'm happy for her. But we'll see what happens. And, or, you know, when Charlotte back, it's probably a little too early. SummerSlam.
Too early. Yeah. Well, yeah. Too early. Yeah. But they've kind of been there, done that with it. Right.
I know. I'm trying to think of just like who they can. And is anyone like on NXT in your mind that can come up, you know, get drafted and come up and be a contender right away in that space in your mind?
The person that I would look to in that category, you know, is like somebody like Tiffany Stratton. Like if you wanted to like jolt her up the card and like have her win the title right now, you could probably pull that off.
She's about to feud with Bayley, it seems, right? So
yeah, I mean, right. You'd have to like pivot pretty heavily on that. But I mean, when you lose a top star like that, you may have to pivot. Yeah, I think Rhea's return, whenever that is, will be big enough to kind of sell itself. And so for that reason, like I know this isn't like a sexy choice, but I mean, Liv Morgan is probably where I'd go in terms of like where to go with the world title right now. I mean, Becky Lynch.
Maybe like with Nia Jax being like her heavy or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she definitely would need like some kind of
super over heel group. I think that would be right.
Yeah, she would. Yeah, something to that effect. Because I mean, now the story is like it's not just Rhea coming back and getting the title, but it's Rhea coming back and destroying Liv Morgan. I mean, they teed that up on a silver platter last night. So, you know, I think you want to like do that right, and so you might as well put the belt on her. I mean, I know that it's Liv Morgan and. You know, she didn't have a great title run. Actually, let's get to a super chat on this topic from Zach. And Zach appropriately calls that out. And Zach says here, Liv Morgan's previous title reign was awful. Why revisit that? Put the title on someone reliable, incredible, like Becky Lynch. Her first title reign was a disaster. I mean, if you listen to these shows that you and I did throughout that time, we regularly harped on that. But I think it's a different situation now because you have – when she holds that title, she's not, I don't think the perception is going to be, oh, they're trying to make her. It's going to be what it is that she's keeping it warm until Rhea comes back. And then that's the big payoff. So I don't know about you, man, but it's not that I don't like the Becky Lynch thing, but man, we kind of saw it at WrestleMania and it didn't work. And this is coming from somebody that was high on that as a potential angle and a potential match. And I gave it like, the benefit of the doubt countless times. And then you see it play out at WrestleMania and it's okay, but it's just not great because I just think there's too much love for Becky. There's too much love for Rhea and it just doesn't mix. And so I don't know that I'd be for that reason. It's not that she's not a big star. It's not that she can't carry the show. It's just, we've been there and done that. And I think like the person who holds this championship next, like probably should hold it until Rhea comes back in 3 months.
Yeah. Do you remember when Liv's run was?
So it was
was it last year or was it 22?
I think it was 2022.
Yeah. So is this
Ronda was around.
Is this post Vince weird era, right? As I see a chat coming in, that's about to make my point here. I think it's under Vince, right? So I think that would be the explanation of why revisit a title reign is that Triple H probably thinks, as we've alluded to a lot in the show here, that you know, Triple H probably thinks that like, he can make it work. Obviously, he has a lot of respect for Liv as a character and as a performer because you can just tell with the way certain people are booked, right? I think he has that, you know, comparatively to Vince, right? Like Chad Gable is another prime example of
who right.
Triple H values way more than Shorty G, as Vince would call him, right? As I was never let him live that down. So where he's come, that's why I say that. It's not a shot at Chad Gable. It's just to prove how far he's come and giving, you know, putting effort behind characters works, right? So I think that's why, you know, you would revisit it. And her as a heel act makes, I think, more sense, too. As like to give her some depth because she had no, like, what was her character as a babyface? Like, wow, I can't believe I won it. I'm happy to be here. Can you believe I beat Ronda? That's crazy.
Right. In like the weakest way possible, twice.
Yeah, yeah. She was like the babyface cashing in, like a heel, right? Which never works.
Yeah, and then the second time she was like tapping out to Ronda and the ref didn't see as the baby face. Yeah. And then like she won it after. So it was like just the weekend. I mean, yeah, just awful.
Yeah. So I think that's behind it, right? I think like, you know, Rhea, let's say Rhea's not hurt, right? Are we talking about like her and Liv Morgan? Is this like, this is fine, but we really need to get like some big matches for Rhea here, right? I think this is always going to be a problem. I think, again, to your point, not that you ever want to get hurt, but man, it might be a good time to prove that you are like holding up an entire television show's division. And not that she needed to leave to prove that, but like it's real thin. And this might be a good opportunity to like for people to step up and become, you know, viable upper mid card talent that are not actively at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we got a chat about this, and like, you know, Liv Morgan is gonna be a heel now, whether they like it or not. Like, I think the fans, because again, they didn't do anything to like curb any kind of like disdain for Liv Morgan. Like, they breathed right into that yesterday. Like, so I think people, I mean, to me, and especially that promo that she cut, where she's like got a little bit of attitude behind her. You know, it wasn't like lovable Liv Morgan babyface. Like, it was like, you know, we're on the path to not liking you, and let's keep going down that path. So
yeah,
I think if she does win the title, I mean, it'll be as a heel. And I think that's the way to go
here. Yeah, I think they were going to copy paste as much as possible the Drew McIntyre descent into evil, right, for Liv. Not beat for beat, but it seemed like, hey, this works. Let's do this with Liv was the path they were on, and they just accelerated it, right? Like if Seth got hurt for real and they needed Drew.
That's right. Yep.
Get that title 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago, then there you go.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, that is. That's a really they just kind of just all right, we gotta hurry this along by a few weeks. So let's get moving. Adam jumping in on this topic saying the only right answer for women's champ is Nia Jax. I know one person that's not gonna like that listens to this show. What do you think?
Well, I haven't made the sign of the cross for a long time as a lapsed Catholic, but that's my thoughts on it. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't hate it. I would prefer the Liv, I prefer my creation, obviously, as conceited as that sounds. I think Liv and then Nia basically doing all her dirty work for her. And then maybe eventually you could tell the story there where Nia turns on Liv, right? If you want to make Nia more compelling one way or the other. That would be interesting. Or if they are put in a three-way match and like, you know, hey, we got to work together. You got to do what I tell you. And then Nia takes it from her. Like, that'd be interesting storytelling, I guess, as like one rough idea to like, okay, where do we want to go by July? Right. So that's interesting. I think Nia is in that equation, right? It's Liv and Nia and who else is there on that show?
Well, you know, there's
obviously the draft is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think we're definitely going to get like all of Damage Control probably on Raw. And that is going to open up a lot of options. Yeah. That's what I would suggest at this point. Or Tiffany and a couple, you know, the SmackDown roster seems more loaded with women right now than Raw does. Obviously, with Becky and Rhea being gone.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, Two days ago, I don't know that it felt that way, but it certainly feels that way right now. I mean, like, that's an interesting, like, I mean, because if it's not Liv and it's not Nia, I mean, then you're, I mean, like, I don't know who, I mean, I don't even know who, I don't even have a good name. I mean, you know, I mean, like, I'm sure like Candice LeRae will be in the mix if they do some kind of like multiple person match, just to not to like take the title, but just to like be in the match.
If there's like a four-way match or something.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Like, but I mean, like, that's how big of the drop it is though. Like, cause I, you know, that's just the God honest truth. So it'll be
interesting. You want to make Piper, if you want to like elevate Piper, I guess you could do the same thing that I suggest with Nia.
And I mean, the only other NXT person that, you know, that makes sense really to me is Roxanne Perez. And it's too ready. Soon for that.
I'm like, I'm the biggest like proponent of like, I think her potential is, you know, right there. And she's still what, like 22? I mean, she was 18 when ROH went defunct and she was the champion at the very end. So it's not that long ago. So Yeah, like, but I just don't think she's ready for that role, right? Like, if she's taking on a Liv as a babyface, that's one thing, right, to get you through some Raws. But right. to come up and be, like, a legit challenger, I don't think she's ready for that at all. I think you would agree with that as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and not even – I mean, yes, she's the NXT champion. I always think that's a little awkward when that happens. And it doesn't even really happen all that much. But, like, it's not just that. Like, she's – you know, she's working heel in NXT and it's a work in progress. Like, it's not even, it's not an act that she's got figured out yet. So, and like, again, the opportunity of Roxanne Perez, like, make no mistake, Rhea Ripley's getting this the belt back when she comes back. And so do you want to sacrifice Roxanne Perez to Rhea Ripley, like in 4 months time? Like, no, I don't think you do. So,
I mean, I don't – I think they've shown that they're not in this mode with this person yet. But do you just, like, go for broke and draft Jade pretty high to Raw and have Jade be the champion? Like, I don't know that that's, like, the worst idea ever. If she can go away – you know, if she's way more developed in the WWE system than we think, I think that might be a sneaky option here.
Not a bad idea. I mean, really. Not a bad idea. I mean, because, you know, I mean, it definitely, like, reinforces the whole presentation that she's gotten up to this point, which is, I'm a huge, huge star. There's a title opportunity. I'm taking it. And not only that, I'm going to win. Like, yeah, man, I don't hate that at all.
And, I mean, let's be honest. If you're Triple H and you have, like, your newest, biggest signing and you're having her go for titles pretty quickly as opposed to what your competition is doing with their, you know, biggest signing in the women's division of all time. You know, I think that also the ego comes into play there too, that you can't deny. And, you know, if we're doing Jade and Rhea at SummerSlam, you can't tell me that's not one of the biggest matches WWE can put on if it can be a solid 12-minute match, you know?
Yeah, well said. Yeah, good call. I like it. Yeah. You heard it here first, world. Jade Cargill, potentially. Adam's clarifying here. That was only to mess with Zach.
Mess with me too, Adam. Too, you flew too close to the sun.
Too. I'm just kidding. I had to pick my jaw off the floor real quick, Adam. Thank you. thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Has she ever been champion? Nine?
Yeah, she has. Way back in the day.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, who hasn't, right? That's been with the company for a period of time. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was at the WrestleMania she won it, actually. It was the second New Orleans one. She, like, wrestled, like, Alexa Bliss or something, you know, just a terrible.
Yeah, like 34
or
something. Before the pandemic?
34. Yeah, it was 34. Oh boy. There's a memory. Yeah, this will be interesting. I mean, it's a curveball for sure. So it's you know, it'll be interesting to see how they navigate this. Sticking with the women's division for a second. We have an interesting super chat here from Sean. Sean, thank you so much for joining the show and glad you're here with us live today. Always appreciate you. Sean says here, if you're going to have a women's tag titles, which they don't need, they need to do more to show off the teams and have longer matches, etc. Tyler, the women's tag division. What do you make of it these days? I mean, you've got two sets of men's tag titles.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's do a fun exercise. Here, live on air. I'm going to write down who I think the women's tag team champions are. And then we'll just reveal on air if I'm correct, okay?
Let's do it. I think you know. I think you – I'm going to go with you know who it is.
I think I do too, but, like, I'm not confident. Are you ready?
Yeah. You're correct.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like, man, on this point, like – I'm sitting here in my head, like, I am not confident who the
– But that's the your point, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I got it right, but – and I still don't know if it's Freebird's rules.
No, it's – well, I don't know what it – I don't know now because it wasn't before because Io Sky was the women's champion. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Dakota. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Dakota. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So I think it's just Kabuki Warriors. I think technically
– Okay, so that technically that's wrong then. It's Kabuki Warriors.
That's true. Technically, yeah. Mistake.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Sorry, go ahead.
But I mean, I think, Sean, that answers your question, right? Or at least to me it does. It's like, of course they need to do more to show off that division. And this is the thing that I don't get sometimes, and I didn't get it under Vince, and I don't get it even now, like under Paul Levesque. You have all this television time to fill. It's like, wouldn't you want to have like a robust women's tag division just for that? Like, just even if you didn't care about it in the slightest, even if it didn't move the needle at all in terms of like, you know, merch and interest and or anything like that, like it can fill 10 minutes on your show weekly. Like, yeah, that's valuable if you want it to be, like, but they just don't put any investment in it at all.
Yeah, like it could fill what Ivar's doing. Like,
yes,
Ivar's, I like Ivar, but man, that dude is filling 10 minutes on a show every week, right?
Every week.
That dude is like, that dude is like the solid secret MVP of like, I need 10 minutes filled. Ivar, you're my man. Like, every week.
And we get dresses up as a damn Viking. Like, it's yeah, you know, so Sean, I mean, I completely agree. And I mean, look, you've got some teams there. You've got the Chelsea Green, Piper Niven team. You've got, you know, the party, Caden Carter, Katana Chance. You've got now Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. You've got Damage Control. You've got, you know, Indy Hartwell and Candice. I mean, like, you've got, like, these teams that exist in the world. But, man, you got to – they do need to, like, show them off a little bit more. Like, in squash matches or just time on the microphone to talk. And maybe that'll come. Maybe it'll come now that Bianca and Jade are like officially, you know, teaming up and are working as a tag team. Maybe you'll see more focus there, but I mean, man, they need it. Otherwise it renders everything that division does pretty darn useless. And I think you can say a lot of the same things about the men's tag division. I mean, there's more to it right now because there's just more teams, there's more history there, but I don't think it's used all that much better either.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of a WWE booking philosophy issue with tag teams.
That's true too.
Yeah. It's like you have a smaller pool, right, than let's compare to AEW of wrestlers in general, right? Like AEW can throw Commander and somebody versus anybody, right? And just make it work, right?
But enough about last week's Collision main event. Okay?
yeah. but you know, and that is its own separate issue, right? Of how you can just throw people together and it's a match. And there's no story, right? Like, WWE wants to tell probably a 3 to 6 week television story with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell and who they're going against, right? If there's only four tag teams, you only have so many stories you can tell, so you can't just keep recycling them. Like, it's very – I think it's, like, too hard in the WWE system to spend time on Natalya and Shayna Baszler for some reason to team up and take on, you know, Ivy Nile and whatever.
Whoever.
Carter, yeah. Whatever their names are. I'm never going to get their names right. or Alba and Fire, isn't that?
All, yes, is that right. That's another one, though. That's another. Yeah,
I like both of them. I think they're both super talented. So, yeah. But like, it's hard, I think, for WWE to put the time to like kind of make some nonsensical matches because there's, again, such a small pool. But I think that helps them overall in every other category. So,
that's a good point, man. Yeah, and I also think it's like,
sorry, I'm just reading these comments. The latest one.
Brandon, you're killing me, my friend. You're killing me. But
it was a Kanye quote from a Mike Myers and Kanye West were on the same screen at the same time, if there's a reference for anyone. If anyone's as old as Zach and I.
YouTube it. After this show, YouTube it.
Yeah, yeah.
thanks, Brandon. Jeez. But I mean, he's not wrong. It's like they never have, you know, WWE. They do when it benefits them, like night one of WrestleMania this year, you know, or have the biggest tag team of all time, whatever. But they don't, you know, they're not going to main event pay-per-views with tag team matches. You know, I mean, they just won't. But that, again, to me, that's a reason. It's still not an excuse because you could still get a lot out of it. Like, with TV time if you wanted to, but I think you're right though. I mean, it does kind of fly in the face of what they do just conceptually with their creative because of their setup.
Yeah. How many 2 day WrestleManias have there been? I was kind of just a number check right now.
36 was the last one. That or the first one.
That was 2 days. So we have had five that are 2 days. So we've had 45 WrestleMania main events, technically. Two nights on. So what, there's three tag team main events out of 45? One last year and this year, right?
Last year and this year. Is there another? What's the third? Oh, the first WrestleMania one. Yeah. Okay.
So is that can't be anymore, right? So, and then women have main evented once?
Twice?
Okay.
They main evented 35.
So modern wrestling, they care about women as much as tag team wrestling. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's
not real math. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting. That's like a new phenomenon of what? When did WWE start really caring about women's wrestling and making it a real thing? The last 12 years? For real?
Not even that. I think
not even that. 10?
2015, I think, was like the women's revolution.
So if you can press that, you know, they care way about more, and rightfully so. Singles women wrestling, it makes me way more money than mid-card guys on tag teams. But, you know, that just tells you where WWE has tag team wrestling in its grand scheme.
Yeah. Man, geez, I'm trying to think of in my head, I'm like, there has to be more tag team main events, but I think you're right. I think that's it. There's just three.
Yeah, I mean, you know, WrestleMania main event's a big deal. So when you have two in 1 year, then it waters it down anyway, right? Because we wouldn't have either of those, would not have been main events if it wasn't for two nights, right?
Right.
We'd
have
one in the company's history.
Correct. Yep. Good point. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Good discussion point. We'll see what they do. You know, I mean, like, the other thing to keep in mind here is, you know, the Paul Levesque regime can't fix or can't change everything like overnight. So maybe they do have plans to do something more with it. I mean, we don't know at this point, but I mean, as of right now, even on the men's side, like I said, it doesn't seem like that's a priority, especially since those titles are on Awesome Truth right now. And Grayson Waller, like, you know, it's just clearly not a main focus.
A-Town Down Under.
That is what they're called.
Yeah, I should have to write down both the male tag teams too to see if I can get the triple threat.
Every month we're gonna quiz you on the show. All right, Tyler, time to write down the tag team champions.
The NXT tag team champions. No idea. Is it the Creed brothers if they're still there? But
no. Oh God, no. You're like months off.
Okay.
I'm not even gonna go down. I think there's been like three champions since then. So
OTM on their way.
No, they're not really a thing anymore. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay. God
damn. All right. Let's pivot to let's talk about SmackDown on Friday, and mainly, you know, how do I say this? What looks to be potentially a pivot and or extension of the Bloodline feud. In case you missed it, you know, Paul Heyman started the show speaking on behalf of Roman Reigns, talking about how he wants the Bloodline to take all accountability for what happened at WrestleMania. And, you know, kind of it's a babyface promo, really, when you break it down. I mean, it totally is. It frames Roman as like the adult in the room, frames him as the guy taking responsibility for his actions. And then Solo kind of pauses Heyman and says, no, winning matters, losing matters. There needs to be consequences. And he acts as if he's going to attack Jimmy. But instead, Tama Tonga makes his debut for the main roster in WWE, attacks Jimmy, aligns with Solo, who says that the tribal chief told him to do that. Paul Heyman knows nothing about it. So that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that angle tells me that two things. One, Roman Reigns is a babyface and is going to come back that way, which we've talked about multiple times. And number two, like, we may be on a path to like Bloodline versus Bloodline in terms of like the next battle. I feel like that's going to be polarizing for some people, and I'm curious as to your thoughts before I throw mine out there. What did you make of the angle on Friday? And the potential that angle sets up long term.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of opinions on this, right? Like we talked about WrestleMania night two, Sunday was, or no, night one was Jimmy and Jay, right? Night one. How, like, in my opinion, like if you're going to tease the picking your brother up, and like they should have walked out together and got DQ'd and that should have been the match, right? Because that's like what happened, and this would have made like, I think, more sympathy behind Jimmy than we're gonna get, right? Because Jimmy's obviously gonna be positioned with Jay now, and it's like you would have more sympathy if he learned in that moment, a la Darth Vader sacrificing himself, you know, whatever, like a very simple good guy, like a bad guy realizes the fault of his ways, asks for forgiveness, and gets forgiveness, right? Like, so that was like the first thing running through my head. The second thing is, I like that Tama Tonga was put in a, you know, relatively high position and a big angle. I mean, he's a great talent. And, you know, I think he's like, if they could switch people, I think they'd rather have Tama Tonga in the role of Solo Sikoa. But obviously you can't from the storyline perspective. Because, you know, I think Solo is like Solo running Solo. You know, at the top of the
you had that saved for weeks. I know you told me. You sent me an email. You said, "Hey, I got this Solo joke I'm about to use."
Yeah. you know, I think it's a little dubious on like how that's going to work as him, of like the head of the bloodline. You know, obviously, as you were laying out, Roman, Jimmy J, the original bloodline, taking on Rock, Solo, Tama Tonga. And I don't know if we know Tonga Loa's contract. It's weird that they wouldn't have similar ends.
Yeah. So weird, but Jacob Fatu is in play.
Yeah. So there's, you know, because, you know, you kind of need a fourth person to break the tie there, right? Because they're all evenly matched, you would think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I like that as a story. What else would you do with the bloodline at this point, right? Like, if not, you're just recycling. Yeah. They cheat to win. And if you did that, you know, they can do that Solo, but. If Roman comes back as a heel, you're just, you know, people are going to cheer him. He's going to be gone for 6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't think people are going to be excited to see the guy who, you know, like everyone knows why the company's in the spot? It's because of him and his story and him being a big star and him being utilized correctly. Like, you know, he's going to be like the reaction Cody's getting right now. Every finger is going to be up in that arena when he comes back. It's good. Like, Vince, WWE would not be planning this. They would think like, oh, he's a heel. He'll come back as a heel. What are you talking about? He's a heel. And like, you know, Triple H knows like people, when people go away, they're going to get cheered. That's the problem AEW is going to have with MJF if they want him to be a heel, right? When he comes back, he's going to have to do something unforgivable second one as he comes back, right? And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So he'll probably be a babyface when he comes back. So, which is fine. You just got to commit to a story. So, yeah, I think overall it's good. But I do wish, again, like some things would have been different. Because Jimmy looks like, you know, worse for wear after all of this, which is, you know, not super ideal. Not that he's your most, you know, out of everybody's probably the one they care about the least getting over as a character. But that, you know, that sucks. So,
I agree with you, man. I really do. I like the story. Theoretically, you know, where they're going, like it has all the potential in the world, I think. Like it's smart to start positioning Roman as a babyface. Go that way. Clearly, as you said, fans are going to be cheering him. You might as well lean into that. It puts Solo in a very, very bright spotlight, like to carry like that end while Rock's gone and while Roman is gone, you know, he's going to have to carry like that side of things. We'll see if he can do it. You know, he had some talking chops in NXT. It was one of the things that stood out was that, all right, this guy can handle a microphone just fine. I mean, he's not The Rock. He's not Cody. He's not like CM Punk, but I mean, he can hold his own. So, but totally different stage, you know, being on SmackDown, being a part of a prominent story like this. But I like it too. And I think, you know, the original bloodline coming back together as baby faces is going to be a thing like that. You know, it's like the Shield reuniting 2.0. You know, I think they can just build up to that smoothly and then get a lot out of it once they get there. I'm on board. I'm on board with this. I mean, you know, I don't think, I mean, if you're being honest with yourself, and let's get to Zach's super chat here, because it kind of talks about this on the other side. Zach's not as high on it. Zach says, the Bloodline Civil War deal has given me flashbacks of Wolfpack versus NWO Hollywood. We know how bad that was in hindsight. Should the Bloodline just be dissolved and everyone go their separate ways? I mean, my initial reaction to that is, to be transparent, like maybe. You know, maybe you did. Maybe you would want everyone to just kind of go their separate ways at this point. I think that there's an argument for that, Zach. At the same time, you know, this is WWE and it's pro wrestling. And 9 times out of 10 in pro wrestling, you ride a hot angle until the wheels fall off that angle. And to me, if you're having flashbacks of Wolfpack versus NWO, I think that's completely fair because this is kind of similar in terms of like the ecosystem that those stories lived in. But the thing of it is, like, there's no reason not to trust what they've done with the Bloodline angle so far. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, there's too many good people involved. Your top stars involved, your top creative mind in Paul Levesque and Paul Heyman are involved. You know, I trust more, Tyler, that this thing is going to be handled with infinitely more care than Wolfpack versus NWO Hollywood. I think the similarities are there and the flashbacks are reasonable, but I just don't have that same worry.
I'm trying to think, what's the biggest match that feud got to? Was it Nash and Hogan?
That was a big one. Yeah.
I'm having like a blind spot of what that led to. Right. Because the shirt for the Wolfpack is awesome. That's the first thing I think of when I think of and red with the big wolf on the front and then the NWO on the back. And then staying in, you know, red makeup is cool. But that's it. That's what I think of when I think of NWO Wolfpack, right? So this is obviously similar, right? But like the matches, either you have you have multiple huge matches you can get out of this. Obviously, Rock and Roman is way bigger than anything that feud got you in the past.
By far.
It's basically a Survivor Series. It's a War Games match built right there. I mean, you just get a couple, you know, if you have four people, right? If you add Fatu to the, you know, Bloodline final boss, Bloodline Rock, whatever you want to call it. And then you had, I don't know who the person you would add for
Sammy.
Sammy, yeah. As like the OG. Oh, that'd be awesome. I love that. That's great booking. Sammy? Like, that's War Games main event right there, right? And that's going to be bigger than any match you put on, and that can lead to whatever, right? Can lead to Roman and Rock in the Rumble, and the winner takes on Cody, right? Mm-hmm. Rock, you know, Roman wants to win the right way, and the Rock wants to be the final boss for Cody. Like, you know, it builds itself and gets you there, right? You know, you can lay out big-time pay-per-views, but, like, man, like, it's – you got to fill that 9 months before you get there, right? And that's a hard thing to do, tell a story that people care about week in and week out. And I think this is a good vessel to do it, right? Like, it's not guaranteed to work and be perfect, but I have way more, you know, obviously the hindsight is 2020, right? But the way that company was run, the way those stars were probably more selfish in their booking and than the storytelling they were doing. And just, you know, Bischoff versus Triple H, right? It's a different... Mm-hmm. I trust Triple H right now that I do Bischoff in, 98 is when that story's taking place. So, you know, I would give him more grace right now to be good. But it could go off the rails. Like, that's totally a possibility, as you had said also.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore that reality. It absolutely could jump the shark and that's it. But I agree with you. Adam is giving his 2 cents here. Zach's NWO comparison is a false equivalent. That group was watered down by adding anyone and everyone. That doesn't seem to be what is happening with the Bloodline. Not at this point. So far they've kept that in check. So, yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, but again, Zach, we'll see. Like, I don't think it's, you know, totally just completely out of left field to have that opinion at this time. Because you always want to send things off and wrap things up before they get stale, not after the fact. And so, but they think they've got something here.
Yeah, because there's 8 people that have been in the Bloodline as active wrestlers, right, at this point?
Let's see.
Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Sammy, Solo, Tama Tonga, Rock.
Rock, yeah, so 7.
Heyman. 8, probably 8 with Fatu. But yeah, I mean, Heyman's not our active wrestler, right? He's like the manager.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So that's probably the biggest. Is that the biggest group since in wrestling of like a real group that has like every character is actually fleshed out sense like an NWO thing. Like, probably, I think that's where the comparison is apt. But yeah, I mean, like, Jeff Jarrett, well, 1998 is not Jimmy, right?
No, but also, like, eight people in the NWO was like, you know, 2 years. This has been 4+ years in the making. And so it's like double the amount of time.
One was not Bruce Beefcake. It was, oh my gosh, what's his name?
Who?
The guy with the hat, the stupid hat.
Buff Bagwell?
Buff Bagwell, yeah. You know, Buff Bagwell is not in this group right now, too.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's a positive on how it is not NWO, but from the size standpoint, it's the closest thing to it since that time, unless you want to count Nexus or something like that. Right. But let's skip that past that comparison.
Yeah, we don't want – I mean, yeah, that, I don't even know if that –
Or the Spirit Squad, where they have like six guys.
Yeah, so, yeah, five or six.
You know, guys, so you're getting dicey with your comparisons when you add those in there. So
yes, yes. We'll see. I'm intrigued. You know, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't like seriously. Like, it was an interesting angle to watch play out because I think for the last 3 years, really, you know, you could kind of see like where the bloodline's going. Okay, they're setting this up with Sammy and Roman and Jay and Roman and now Jay and Jimmy. And it, like, you could kind of read kind of where they're going based on who they're pushing and the fact that Roman's champion. Well, now that that's not the case, like the bloodline on Friday, we're out there with like, okay, where's this thing going? Like, and you couldn't really read it at all. So it's going to be interesting to follow it now without like kind of that roadmap that everybody already had in their head. Mm-hmm. So you know, it should make for good good programming. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, last but not least, we'll get to Zach's Super Chat here. We'll wrap up the Super Chats there. Zach says here, Body Slam is reporting that the Motor City Machine Guns are headed to AEW. That's a boost for the tag team division. Tyler, what say you about the Motor City Machine Guns in AEW?
I would disagree that it's a boost for the tag division. Depends on your perspective, right? If it's for the current 800,000 people watching Dynamite on a weekly basis, it probably is a nice ad and gives matches to FTR and Young Bucks. But they're not moving the needle in any way, shape, or form. I like Shelley and Chris. So what's Chris's last name?
Saban.
Saban, yeah. Especially Chris Saban had a good run in ROH as a singles guy while Shelley was still in TNA. So you know, they're good workers, and I think they're good minds to have back there. They're hopefully going to be adults in the room of some things, and maybe can check the Young Bucks on stuff. And hopefully Cody, oh my gosh, for a Freudian slip, hopefully Tony is enamored by them and will listen to them and have another like edge-like voice back there. So I think that could be a boost, but not like, you know, TV, they're going to be fighting, you know, the best friends, the evil best friends in like 3 weeks on Collision. So, you know, let's not get too excited.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at too, Zach. You know, I mean, I think I'm glad those guys got paid and I hope they did. I hope they got a real nice contract and I mean, they deserve it. I mean, they've had a really good run as far as being what they are as a tag team, which is an upper tier tag team that just transparently has just not made it to like the big time. You know, they weren't signed with NXT. They were never in WWE. They're good workers. They're a great tag team. They are. And I think they're going to have great matches with the Young Bucks. They're going to have great matches with FTR, House of Black. Like there's the possibilities for great matches are endless, but they're endless. You know, as I always say, they're endless. If you watch Fight TV on a Friday night, like they can have a lot of great matches with teams out there. I just don't think they're going to move the needle here. I know they're not going to move the needle. I hope I'm wrong. But you know, we'll see. Are they a good feud for the Young Bucks in the AEW world? Absolutely. You know, if the Young Bucks win the tag titles at Dynasty and, you know, you get, they confront them on pay-per-view and, you know, you start a feud that ends at Double or Nothing. Like, yeah, that's good. It's going to be good television if you're watching the show. Are they going to draw? I don't think so.
Yeah. Have you looked at the ticket sales for Dynasty? I haven't. I assume it's like 8,000 is my guess, something like that. The building's not huge. It's like where the think the St. Louis University plays.
I think the Billikens play too, or no?
I don't think so. I don't know. I looked it up. I think they play in a real arena. I mean, not that it's not a real arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know it's a 20,000 seater.
This is like a 12,000 seater, I think. But
okay.
Like, what percentage is this? I'm just asking you, Zach. Like, what percentage of that crowd is going to know who, you know, they are when they appear, if they appear on the paper without commentary?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah. Like, the live crowd that paid money for an AEW pay-per-view live and in person, what percentage are going to know the Motor City Machine Guns when they debut to you?
A lot. High percentage.
A lot?
Yes.
Like 70?
Yeah, 70, 80. Now, but again, that's 15,000 or 8,000 out of, you know, 700,000 that watch on a regular basis. So, I mean, it's still pennies.
Yeah, I think you're high. That's why I asked that question. But we'll see.
You think so?
You know, yeah, I think so. But we'll see. I could be wrong. I was in the crowd when Dark Order debuted, Super Smash Bros. As they were known at the time.
Okay.
And ain't nobody at that show know who those guys were.
Well, I would put a Jay Lethal as like a reasonable comparison. Like, they popped for Jay Lethal, didn't they? At that Full Gear show, like, to me, like, that's like a good, better.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly, like, I'm not saying the Super Smash Bros. Are the same as the Motor City Machine Guns when they were on, you know. So let's not get anything twisted here on the end of the podcast here. But, like, I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's 5 years. Like, I don't, obviously the correlation is not there for who watches TNA and who watched Ring of Honor back in the day and who watched GCW and other indie promotions. You know, that is a 16th of the AEW audience watches stuff like that. So, you know, I just for like as another pro, we'll see. I'll give you my take. I'll be there. So,
yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not again, Zach. It's not a bad sighting. It's just kind of more of the same, I think, in a lot of ways. All right, I lied. We're gonna do one more super chat here. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Zach. Matt is jumping in here at the last minute here at the end of the show to say, Triple H is my favorite wrestler of all time. I love that he's on so often, especially as I feel his in-ring career was cut short. Love BRM with a countless amount of exclamation points. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, you're not the only one that feels that way about Triple H. I promise you that. I mean, he's not like necessarily my cup of tea in terms of like an in-ring wrestler, but huge star. I think when used sparingly, he's just more effective at this point. Mm-hmm. So, but Matt,
also think it can be definitely an age thing. Like, you and I are in the same age cohort of fans of who we like gravitate to as our like childhood legends. I don't know how old you are, Matt. I don't want to dox you here, but you know, even if you're 4 years younger than me, you know, you grew up in that ruthless aggression era, right? Where Triple H is the guy. He is the one, you know, Stone Cold or The Rock equivalent, uh-huh. right? Batista, right? Like, I have, you know, I like Batista as an actor way more than I do as a wrestler. But a lot of people, 33. Okay, so we're in the same age cohort. I just turned 34. So, but yeah. So you probably also didn't stop watching when you were a teenager like I did. So just like that's a little, you know, which is good. Right for you. So yeah, anyway, but that's interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, guys. We'll wrap up there. Appreciate you. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for getting the live chat going. It's always fun to watch everybody, you know, commiserate there and hang out, and thanks for our super chatters. Appreciate it. If you have not subscribed to the channel, please do so. I think you'll enjoy the videos that we put up. We're live Monday through Thursday, every single week. You can also catch all of our live podcasts or all of our live shows as podcasts on your favorite podcast app. They go up, you know, minutes after we're done here. So you can take us on the road as an audio show and, you know, go bring us wherever you need us to be so that you don't miss any of our shows. Of course, head over to Patreon. You can support us by becoming a member, patreon.com/brassringmedia. Yeah, guys, thank you. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon, 3 Eastern. With Spotlight, Don't know the topic yet, but I will let you guys know soon. Just keep it locked to Brassery Media on Twitter for that that announcement. Cool. Ready to Thanks so much. About
that. Save that God. For the docket. That was the same StarCast was a watch along of Ready to Rumble with David Arquette and the comedians roasting the movie while I was on.
That way better than the actual movie. I can promise you that.
It was bad. Sure. That was the first time I ever watched it. Real bad. Real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, imagine like paying like your hard earned $10 to go see that in the movie theater.
Yeah. Like, which is like $30 a day.
Yeah. So that would not happen. We won't be doing that on the Spotlight Show tomorrow. So I can promise you that. But thank you guys. We appreciate you. We thank you. And we'll catch you next time. See you.